And welcome back to another episode of I'll Be the Judge of That. I am your host, Adam Eagle Rock, and with me today, my co-host, Evan Ryan Lewis. Evan, how are you?
I am as good as I've ever been, Adam. I feel great. I feel great.
And why is that?
Well, we've been off the last couple weeks, as you may know, got to really disconnect, got to travel a little bit, got to relax, got to do some working out, eating well, eating healthy, feeling good. Life's good right now.
Do you have any stories from your travel?
I did have a quick story, actually, that I wanted to bring up. I was flying. It was a small plane, so there's only two seats on each side of the plane. That makes sense? There's no middle seat.
Right.
And the plane's fairly full. I had no one next to me. I was in the window. No one was next to me in my own row. And like 20 minutes into the flight, this guy comes up and he's like, hey, do you mind if I sit here? And before I could even say a word, he was like down. Laptop was open. He was in. And I actually had friends on the flight. And I told one of my friends, like, hey, there's a seat open next to me. He's like, nah, you know, it's not my seat. You know, you can't really.
Right.
And this guy just came in. I was like, can you do that? Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I've been on flights where I'm like, you know, in a packed row and I see an empty one. Like, do you just get free rein after the flight takes off?
Is it? Yeah. Oh, so he did it like once you hit 10,000 feet or whatever the thing that the breaker is. You don't have free rein, but like that there's a grace period. Yeah, I liked it. This is actually a topic. I'm turning this into a topic. There's a grace period of like your ascent before you plateau that you're allowed to move about the cabin, if you will. But once you plateau, you can't be like flying from LA to New York and be like over Utah and decide I want to sit next to this guy two seats behind. You can't. It's too late.
Well, it's just crazy because I was on the flight home and I was in the aisle of a full row. There was someone in the middle and someone in the window.
Right.
And a couple rows behind me, there was someone in the window and no one in the middle or aisle. So I'm like, can I just go take that? I'd rather be in that aisle than the aisle I'm in without someone in the middle. But like, what is this, a free-for-all? Like,
yeah, after about like, you know, once the plane takes off, I would give it like, 12 to 15 minutes. Yeah,
and then you can just take any seat you want.
Yeah, I mean, you do. That guy's move is a little aggressive.
Pandemonium under the system.
That guy's move is a little aggressive, you know?
A little aggressive.
I would ask.
Oh, I was furious.
Or maybe do the preemptive ask. Turn around before you take over. You're like, no one's sitting there? You're like, do you mind if I jump over when we are allowed to move about the cabin?
Mm-hmm. No, I think you got to stay in your assigned seat. I thought that was egregious. Egregious. But well, I got so many topics. I'm bursting at the seams.
All right. Throw one in here.
Okay. I'll start out with just a classic for you. How far in advance of you leaving can you throw your going away party? I met somebody who said I moved here right around New Year's. And then later they were telling me about their going away party. And I see them scrolling back in their phone like to find the pictures of the going away party. The going away party was in like August. I was like, I thought you said you moved in the new year. Yeah, well, the going away party was August. How far in advance can you throw a going away party?
This is the most absurd thing I have ever heard. There, I think, was he or she planning on leaving like earlier, like at the end of the summer? And then,
no.
You know?
Mm-mm.
It was just like a better time of year to throw a going away
party. I guess.
A party in general. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that you could ask that question about like birthdays and like when you have a deadline, when you have like a specific date that something occurs, I think that you have like 2 weeks of striking distance on either side to celebrate said event. You know, if it's your birthday, you don't need to celebrate that day. You could celebrate like a week or 2 weeks later. And like that's when the party is. Same with the going away party. You could do like I'm giving you 2 weeks before. You can't throw a going away party on Thanksgiving and you're leaving in the spring of the next year.
So let's say I'm leaving January 1st. I can't have a going away party like December 5th.
Okay. You found the only caveat to the whole thing. Holiday season.
Holidays. Yeah.
But I still
I think it's
like
a couple weeks kinda, as well, though. To go.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So who was it?
Just a random person I met on my travels. Okay, I'll throw another topic in here. I just want to have like a wholesale conversation about Ozempic. I think someone has to do it, and it's going to have to be us. Ozempic.
The weight loss drug?
Yeah, it's sweeping the nation, right? Everyone's on it. It's not bad to be on it, but for some reason, everyone keeps it a secret. And everyone, we all know people who have lost an incredible amount of weight, like just transformational weight, right?
I'm going to stop you right here. I don't know one person that's on Ozempic.
Okay, you definitely know many people who are on Ozempic.
How do you even get? Is it like a black market thing, or your GP sends it out?
No, yeah, it's not hard to get.
You just so you, are you on it?
No, I'm gaining weight, bro. I'm not. I'm the anti Ozempic. But what I've noticed is that when you meet these people who have like suddenly lost like 40 pounds over the course of like a few months, you know, like massive changes, it's obvious to everyone.
Right.
And you say, everyone says, oh my God, how did you do it? Right.
Right.
And they just give you these like kind of blanket vanilla, like, you know, diet and exercise, you know, if someone really lost like transformational weight, you would know it, right? You'd see them like on their Instagram, like doing jumping jacks every morning and like, oh, I don't eat anything but green juice now, or like some, you know, they would be in your face like telling you, and you'd see it like slowly happen. Like no one has a transformational body change, and they're just like the way they did it is like, oh yeah, just less carbs, and you know,
like if you did a transformational loss, you would at least show passion.
Exactly.
Even if you're not promoting it necessarily on social media or something like that, when if I was like, how did you do it? Like, you would tell me the whole fucking
story. Exactly.
The whole thing.
I used to love cookies. When I was a kid, I ate a cookie every day. And then one day I decided I wasn't going to, like, that's how, like, traditionally you would have a transformational, like, there's like a story behind it and like something happened, or you, like, you had some doctor tell you something, you know? But these people are like, oh yeah, you know, like a little this, a little that, like, like what? Like what? Who do you think I am here? Like, how dumb do you think I am? Just say you're on Ozempic. It's not a bad thing, is it? Or like, why are people keeping it a secret?
Are you asking me? I mean,
no. I follow you on Instagram, so I know exactly what you're doing. I see every.
You think I'm on Ozempic?
No, I know you're not on Ozempic because I see every freaking meal you've eaten in the last 3 years and every workout you've ever done, and the stats and the heart rate on top of it. Like, you're a perfect example of someone who's not on Ozempic who had a transformational body change.
I think that people. So that's such a great question because I, you know, what's interesting about like Ozempic or weight loss in comparison to something like, you used to be like an asshole and now you're like kind of a nice guy, and it's like, I'm on Lexapro.
Right.
And it's like the difference between the two is like, as much as like Adam Eagle Rock is a proponent of mental health, like you still don't brag about that as much as like you can't, you could like lie about the antidepressant. You could lie about that and get away with it.
Yeah.
But like, bro, like 2 weeks ago, man, you were like, you know, 230. And today you're like 170.
Exactly. That happens. Like mental health,
you can't
see someone.
Like right.
And you're like, oh my God, you look so much less anxious. But like, you know, my sister was like, oh, I saw Chelsea last week. I'm like, yeah, what's left of her? You know, like half of Chelsea's gone, you know? And then you go up to Chelsea and you're like, hey, how did you like do it? And she's like, oh, I just started like walking in the morning. It's like, no, I ain't going to cut it, you know?
Right, right.
Like, just tell me what it's you did. Like, who cares? Or should people just keep lying and pretending like they just like, and just give the most generic like diet and exercise answer? Oh, I didn't know that. You have to diet and exercise and then you lose 40 pounds? Who would have known?
It's a really tricky question because like we are definitely not the podcast to chop this up, because I think that it really plays into like people's psychology of like self-image.
Well, Well, I said someone has to talk about it, and it's going to have to be us.
Well, I truly think it's like the psychology of yourself. Like, you're embarrassed to say that you were so upset with where you were before that you're taking prescription drugs to make you skinny instead of putting in hard work.
So then your solution is just to, well, it was meant for people with diabetes. And then they found out that one of the side effects curbed hunger. And then people started taking it, and you just have like a really low appetite. And then over the course of like several months of not eating much, you lose a lot of weight.
So you think that people are the same way with like Adderall?
I mean, it's a great question. Like, if you had like someone who just was like bouncing off the walls in school, and all of a sudden they're just like studying like mad and like getting straight A's, and they're like, how'd you do it? They're like, I don't know, just concentrating more, you know? Like,
right.
Like, come on.
I actually have a friend who takes Adderall all the time, and he can't figure out why he can't gain weight. He's drinking mass gainers. I'm like, oh yeah, how often are you eating? Are you spending like 10 hours a day just like,
So what's the deal? Should these people be just keep lying and just like, you know, giving us bullshit answers to our face, or should we just stop asking? Or like,
I mean, can you ask someone who like no longer has wrinkles how they did it? You know,
yeah.
like at what point are you just like going to just talk about them behind their back like a normal American? You know,
right?
Just like, you know, did you see Evan? Yeah. Yeah, I think he's on like that Ozempic shit, you know.
Right,
I think he's got some Botox while he's
at it. I mean, if you meet someone who's lost like 40, we're talking like real substantial weight loss here, you know. Like, should you just not even ask?
But that's the thing, is like they need to. That's why they did it, is to get the question, like, or to get the comment, like, you look really good.
I guess you should just be saying like, wow, you look great. You shouldn't really ask how they did it. Which is such a common question, I feel like, because people want to know, like, what's your secret? But then, you know, but they won't tell you their secret.
I would be pissed at myself if somebody's just like, how'd you get in such good shape? And I was like, diet and exercise.
That's what they tell you. I've talked to so many people who've lost like 40 like, pounds plus.
Even somebody that like has never taken Ozempic, is in good shape, and gives fitness advice to other people, I would never say diet and exercise. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so passionate about like what it is. I would like try to. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I got a topic here.
All right. Let's do another one.
If you're on a long drive and you have to pee and you find yourself driving by a friend's house, can you knock on their door just to go in and pee real quick?
That's so funny. Well, most friends live in an area where there would be like alternatives, but I understand why you might want a friend's bathroom more than someone else's. Listen, is so funny.
I had to drive from Santa Monica to North Hollywood at like, I don't remember what time it was, but it was crazy traffic. It was like an hour and 15. I get in the car, and I think we've talked about my peeing problems multiple times on this podcast.
We have.
Get in the car, and I'm like 25 minutes in, and I'm like barely crawling through Brentwood in traffic.
Uh-huh.
Like barely left where I started.
Uh-huh.
But enough that I can't turn around to go pee. And now I have to pee. And I look at my GPS. I got 45 more minutes in the car. And I'm like, I really have to pee. And as I'm inching my way in traffic to get closer to the freeway, I look to the right. I'm like, oh, it's Evan's house. It's a different Evan. And I was like, I'm stuck in bumper to bumper traffic.
Yeah. No, this is funny.
And I'm like, I know he's home. Like, would he be insulted if I just like knocked on his door and was just like, hey man, do you mind if I pee real quick?
Uh-huh.
Like, and then just leave. Like, I got to go to this meeting. Like, I need to be there.
It's like, really,
I didn't
funny.
Know what to do.
Yeah. I think you can, honestly.
How close do you need to be to that friend?
You have to be fairly close. I mean, you have to know where they live and have been there before.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you're okay with if I just knocked on your door, peed, and left?
I would be. Yeah.
It would be so absurd.
I know. I mean, I don't want you using my house like a gas station convenience store, but
Yeah, you got any snacks?
Right. I come back and there's like graffiti etched into the toilet seat. But I think like I think in extenuating circumstances, I think you actually can do that. You like that one, huh?
That is so good.
It's like Adam's written out, but there's like a Z randomly.
It's like that S that you draw like the three lines, yeah, yeah, and then the three lines and connect it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's so
that's good.
Nice art in here. Yeah, it's a convenient stop for my friends before they get on the freeway.
Right.
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never done it. I hope never to, but I actually think you can. It's funny you bring it up.
I didn't.
You didn't stop.
I didn't stop.
What'd you do?
I didn't stop. I drove to the property and I peed at the property, but it was I thought a lot about it. Uh-huh. Also, like I think that like side topic on this, like I'm just gonna throw this out as more of a statement. I think before the hours, like through the night up until like 7 a.m., you could kind of pull over on anyone's front yard and pee.
Yeah, that's true. In neighborhoods, if you really have to, you can.
Like you just do like the pee in the door crack area. Like, you know, you open up the door, you pee in that, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw that out there as a statement.
We don't want to incriminate ourselves here, but you could probably get away with some public urination when you have to.
Shout out to Louis C.K., right?
Yeah.
People forget.
Okay. I'm going to throw a topic in here. So I moved a while back and my street, the parking is very tough most of the time. Yeah. As you know, Adam, cause you almost got ticketed. Yeah. You can't park on the street basically at any time. On the weekends you can't park and most weeknights you can't park, without a pass, a visitor pass. So I have a couple passes and I can't figure out when someone comes to my house, who is supposed to bring the pass or get the pass. And then when they leave, do I have to walk them out to their car or do they get the pass and bring it back? Does it matter which side? Like, how do we do this? Because I feel like I'm in a topic every single time someone comes over now.
This is great, actually. Okay. Obviously, if it's a date, you walk to and from the car.
Okay.
Every time.
Okay.
And shout out to the Don of Venice. You gotta walk them to the car.
Yeah. All right. Let's say it's just a friend.
Just a friend. Now, are you cooking dinner?
Like, oftentimes, if someone's coming over, I am cooking. I'm glad you brought this up because this is another thing. I usually have like some stuff going on in the kitchen. Someone's like, I'm a block away.
Right.
Get your ass over here then.
I think that's less correlated. I think it's like who's doing who the favor here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if I'm coming over to help fix your sink, you need to walk out to my car with the pass. If you're cooking me dinner, I'm going into your house, getting the pass, and running back to the car.
And same when you leave?
And same when I leave. It depends who's doing the service, you know?
Yeah.
Like if I'm helping like move your couch, like, no, you're doing you're getting the pass. You're coming in my car. You're doing the thing. Like I'm not, you know, what am I just going to disassemble a bed, bring it to Marina Circle and bring it into your house for you? Like what the hell am I doing here?
So I think there's some merit, like the argument for the host needs to bring the pass out is that you don't want to leave your car without a pass.
Unattended. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it's only for a couple minutes, because there are such strict rules on this street and the parking enforcement is out there like all the time.
Right.
I think there is some merit to the argument. Like it's going to take me 5 minutes. Cause sometimes you have to park a block or two away too. And so they don't want to walk. And then it's like, you got to do some pleasantries. Hey, how's it going? I need the pass. Blah, blah, blah. And then their car could be left out there for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And same going back, same on the way out. So I get that argument. And also, since this has been just like driving me nuts, I have been in situations where I've gone to friends' houses now and needed a parking pass. And I'm like, you know, I got to walk all over there, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of changed my perspective on that too. And I just cannot figure it out.
It's tough because your situation is a little easier because you're on the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were like, you know, if there was no parking in front of your place and I parked down the street and then I had to like run to your spot, grab it, turn around, run back. Like in my mind, in all these examples, I was picturing parking right in front of your house, walking in, grabbing the pass, walking out. I kind of think now you got to do it. It's just
on
like,
both ways.
Yeah. I think like you're just, that's just part of the I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, you could tell them to pull into the driveway and then you'll run out and grab the pass.
True. And then they can go park.
And then on the way home,
they could do the same, I guess.
I think that you have the other person do it until they get ticketed, and then you completely 180, and then you always bring it out.
I think that since you have to do this twice, ultimately, I think it should just be split. I think one time they should come get the pass.
You're setting a precedent the first time, though.
I know, because I brought this up with Captain Colin, actually, just to kind of like make conversation. And I had like, he likes to hear my topics in advance. And now every time he comes over, he's like, so am I going to bring the pass in? Are you going to bring the pass? You know,
you should always have them grab the pass and run it out in the beginning. And then you can make the judgment call on the way out.
I don't mind the way out as much because I'm usually walking people out anyways. There's not a huge rush. The only bummer is sometimes there's people still at my house. Like if you're the first person to leave, you know, right. Then I got to leave right. The people unattended to my house. On the way in though, I really dislike it because oftentimes I'm like setting something up or cooking right. Or whatever. And like, I don't want to like walk 5 minutes.
So how much is a parking ticket? $90?
Yeah. Give or take.
I think that you should have them do it all the time. And then if they get ticketed, you split the ticket with them.
I mean, getting ticketed in that short of amount of time has got to be like extremely rare.
Right. So you're gambling $45, half the ticket on you never having to do this.
I would take that deal in a heartbeat.
You have the chance to take it. This is your control.
So now when someone's like, hey, I'm here, I need the pass. I'm like, all right, come grab it. And if you get a ticket, I'll give you $45.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, what?
No, it's just like, I think you're a little late. So what have you been doing? Let's say, ask that question.
You know, it's funny. It's really case by case, I've noticed. Like I have some friends that are like a little more hands-on, you know?
Right.
A little more hand-holding, if you will.
Yeah.
And I have some friends who are a little more independent.
Yeah.
And can figure things out, you know? And so I kind of like do it based on that. Also, like if you're the first person to arrive, I don't mind running out. Or if you're the last person to leave, I don't mind walking you out.
Right.
But if there's like you know, four or five or whatever people at my house and you're the first one to leave, like I don't, it's just, that's a tough one.
This is so circumstantial. So you got to make a decision. We got to know right now.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I feel like my sisters, I'm like running passes, like, you know, I got to put my running shoes on for them.
Right.
But
you do have a long driveway.
I do, but like if you came over, like, you know, maybe it'd be nice if you just came in and got the pass and walked back to your car and then came back.
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like we didn't make much progress here.
I think the person should always do it until they get a ticket. And you're just gambling $45 on that.
The person, you mean the visitor, should always do it.
The visitor should always be doing it. This is how I would do it if I was you. The visitor should always do it. And in the circumstance, they get a ticket. You split the ticket, and then you never have the visitor do it anymore. You always do it. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Or keep betting $45 that it's not going to happen again and again and again and again. But yeah.
I might live by that. Okay. So we are wrapping up here, and we have a sad announcement to make.
It's honestly killed my mood, this whole cast.
Yeah, no, same. Hopefully no one realized that we were just so sad through this whole recording. But this is our final episode. This is it. We started of this.
No.
No.
Not of just, this season.
No. We're done. We started this back in 2020. We've done over 100 episodes. We've had a lot of great memories. We did in person. We did Zoom. We did all kinds of things. Several guests came multiple times. We thank you all. Several people listen every week, which is incredible, that we don't know also, which is also amazing.
Right.
I always tell the story, like when we started, there'd be like three listeners and I'd be like, I listen on my phone. You're like, I listened on my phone. Then we have to figure out which one of our moms was the third listener.
Right.
And now we have many people listen that we don't even know, which is so cool. So thank you for listening. To all the people we do know, thank you for listening. Also, like, it definitely resonated with some of our friends and family. I don't think they're listening every week as a favor to us. I may be wrong. You can tell me, Erica. But thank you so much, like, to everyone who's listened and has participated and has interacted with our Instagram and been part of the jury. This has been an incredible experience from my perspective.
I couldn't agree more. I think that, I mean, I said this to Evan, to you day one, which was, there is nothing more exciting to me than meeting up with you once a week in some formal way to talk absolute nonsense and get heated about arguments that don't really matter. And right. That joy that I had only became greater and greater the more people that listened, the more people that wrote in, the more people that shared topics. When we were out in public, they're like, can you do that? And that excited me.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love that we did this and it breaks my heart, but you know,
if you love something, you gotta let it go.
I mean, at the end of the day, guys, like, I was the judge of that. And Evan could not compete anymore. So this is our farewell. Our adios.
The last thing I wanted to add was that when we did our hiatus last year, like, we got so many messages. Like, are you and Adam like okay? Are you guys like the thing about our relationship, Adam, is that we have these conversations whether they're being recorded or not.
That's
just
true.
Last week, right. You were telling me about someone who was talking shit about you in French. And we had a whole conversation if that's considered behind your back or not, if someone talks shit about you in front of you in a language you don't understand.
Right.
And like, well, that turns like a 5 or 10 minute conversation on the phone. And like, we are going to continue to chop up topics, whether they're being recorded or not. And we think that the topics are everywhere. There's an unlimited amount. And we hope that you keep chopping up your own topics as well.
And at the end of the day, if you really have a great topic, you could still write us in. We're not going to kill the Instagram just yet. At Judge Pod, where you can vote on Fridays if we should keep going or not. But for now, it's farewell.
And Adam, do you care to reveal your real name on our last episode?
No, it's not happening.
Okay. All right.
But
thank you
now
so much.
The listeners know that that's not my real name.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Adam, love you. Love doing this with you.
Love you all. Love the jury. Love my co-host. Adios.
Adios.